And now it's time for your financial destination with Roger Hamilton, with strategies to enhance or improve your retirement income.
Hello, I'm Roger Hamilton, and welcome to the Financial Destination Show. So for the next 15 minutes, we'll go over some strategies, some ideas to help you improve your investments, enhance your present or future retirement income. We know it's always investment season, year-round, but here in the months of January and February, a little extra attention or focus draws upon investing, your investments, your returns. And how were your returns last year, 2021? Have a look at your statement, 2020, and the past 3 years, and the past 5 years, or more. For over this past decade, have your tax-free or RSPs grown substantially? It has been a decade of immense opportunity and growth. Has your life income fund, your LIF, or your retirement income fund, your RIF, maintained its value, even after withdrawing maybe 6 to 8% per year? Now, if you've been getting 7% plus annually the past 5 years, that's a 35% increase, you're in the game. Double-digit returns, a 50% gain for the past 5 years, you're at the top of the game. Now, if you're not, if your returns have been less, far less, you might be losing the game. So where do you want to be 5 years from now? The same? Just 5 years older? Less money? No growth? Wondering what to do? Do you wish to change anything now? Because funds don't change themselves. So you think back and what happened? Why don't I have those good returns? Well, perhaps a few years back, you went to the bank or spoke with an advisor. And while getting to know each other, the one question that comes up, what kind of investor are you? What type of investments do you want? Risk or none? You may have shrugged your shoulders and said, I'm not really sure. I don't know. Nothing too high, that's for sure. And nothing risky. You know, I don't want to lose any of my money. Well, no one does. And no one ever ticks off a box. Sure, I'd like to lose money. How soon can I start? No one wants that. Neither the client or the advisor. So you think you take the easy, safe bet. So you lock yourself into funds with little or no growth. But they too have risks. So perhaps you should have ticked off a box with a bit more growth. Now, assuming growth means risk. Thinking, well, growth funds mostly have stocks, and someone you knew once, or maybe it was yourself, owned some stocks and lost everything. And that fear of losing all your money, it's the biggest fear of all. Maybe more than heights or speaking in front of a crowd, that'll send a chill up your spine. Couldn't stomach that. Who could? I couldn't. Or maybe you overheard someone tell someone else to buy this sure stock for $5 a share. So you jumped on, and you saw it go to $10 in the first year, and you held on. Maybe I should have bought more. Maybe I should sell. But greed takes over, so you don't sell. And 2 years later, that stock fell back to $5 again. Back to where you started. 3 years, and you haven't made a cent. Could have made money, should have made money, but you didn't. So now you don't know whether to hold them or fold them. 6 months later, that stock is now $2. Now, do you cut your losses and run, or try and buy a bit more just to break even? So you wait. You don't know. Weeks later, it's now a dollar. It's dropped below a dollar. It's now pennies. And disgusted, you sell. And you can't reach anyone anymore for advice. You've lost just about everything you put in within 4 years. The money is gone. It might have been in your RSP. It might have been outside of an RSP. Regardless, it's a loss, a big one. It stings. It hurts. And the person who gave you that advice 4 years ago might have been an advisor, might have been a wannabe advisor. It might have been your son who watched an infomercial after coming home late in his mother's car. Or it might have been a friend of a friend who is now no longer your friend. They're all gone. Except for your son who still lives downstairs, still looking for work. But the rest are all gone. And so is your money. Well, 2 years later, you happen to look up that old stock that you once owned, that had fallen to pennies. And you look it up, like an old girlfriend or boyfriend, to see how they're doing these days. And to your dismay, that stock that you dumped when it became a penny stock, it was practically worthless, you couldn't dump it fast enough, well, this very same stock is now $40 a share. Your ex never looked better and has moved up onward without you. And today is making lots of investors really happy. So you tell yourself two words, never again. I will never invest in stocks again. It's not for me. I'm out. I'm going to stick with GICs. I'll just stay home and hide I can't lose money that way. See, the two biggest emotions when investing, fear and greed. And fear outpowers greed. Both are dangerous. Greed. Trying to make too much money too fast. It looks easy. So does golf on TV. Someone thinking, well, 8 to 10% per year, yearly returns, in 5 years, that's 50%. Not good enough. Not fast enough. I read or saw something somewhere that I can get 30% returns a year. Something too good to be true usually is. Maybe this is going to be the next Apple or Amazon stock, this $2 stock, and you tell yourself if it ever went to $4, well, I could double my money. Well, that is correct math, Jethro. It may be greed. Or fear. Everything's going to collapse. It's all going to come to an end. We're only weeks away from a total, permanent market meltdown. And to avoid all that, I'm going to tuck my money away at 0.0 at my bank and lock it in for as long as I can. It should be safe because it's money at the bank. Fear and greed. A little extreme maybe, but yet remains with many investors. If you can reduce or eliminate fear and or greed from your investing, logical, practical numbers, a plan, well mapped out, not market timing, but simply time in the market with the correct funds, could be on your own, but probably better with an advisor. If you do that, you're going to do quite well. Warren Buffett. You get that second voice with an advisor, a voice of reason, to confirm, to guide, to offer options, like a surgeon, a financial surgeon, who you know the risk going into this, and what is the most assumed logical outcome. So you let that surgeon and their staff do their thing. And they've seen operations before, the ups and downs of the markets, they've seen it. And as long as that heart monitor keeps beeping, things are good. And as a client, you should stay out of the operating room. Turn off the TV. You have a right to know what's going on with your statements, but to keep yourself out of that emotional second-guessing, you're best to go about your own business. Make your lunch and go to work. Stay out of the operating room. You get updates, your statements, but leave the rest to the surgeons, to the financial advisors. They have the experience and knowledge. And to them, it's just a procedure. With the same goal as you, to keep whoever's on that table, to keep your funds alive, thrive, and do well. But there's a reason why surgeons don't operate on their own family, to keep their own emotions in check. And your investments are much the same. Keep emotions in check. The last 3 years of straight double-digit returns are not normal, but extremely appreciated. They've been there for you. Nor is there an imminent, permanent market collapse. We'll be back right after this.
Knowing which investments that outperform and that are suitable to your goals and needs can be overwhelming. Understanding the advantages of growth segregated funds and or market linked indexes might have over balanced mutual funds could benefit your investments now and for estate planning later on. Diversifying part of your portfolio in private equity funds could have a significant impact on your retirement income. On your Financial Destination show, we'll discuss these strategies and more to enhance your retirement income.
And we're back. We're talking about fear and greed and risk. Risk. Trying to make it too quick. Narrowing your options. This one stock had better go up soon. I put everything riding on it. And with individual stocks, you're on your own kind of. Big gains could be big losses. Could score, could lose it all. It depends on the stock. This stock could be the next Amazon or Apple or Shopify. Or it could be the next Briex, Bidcom, or Nortel. Could be in your RSP tax-free, could be neither one. Now, buying individual stocks, there's a risk versus reward. You're narrowing your choices to funnel up potentially better returns. Now, mutual funds and segregated funds and index funds and ETFs will hold maybe 100 different stocks in each fund and no more than 10% of any one company. So as good as Apple or Amazon may be, Fidelity American, for example, cannot hold more than 10% of any one stock in their funds. So if one stock pulls a Sears and drops out, it should have minimal impact on the overall fund, as the other stocks may be up accordingly. So you're well diversified. And it can have a combination of either groups of funds like in financials and technology and health and consumer staples and energy, and you're geographically diversified, Canada, U.S., North American, global. And these funds are managed by professional money managers whose one sole purpose is to make that heart rate beeper continually beep better. One stock, you could win big or lose it all. Diversified stocks in a fund, the values will change. They'll move up and down. But there's no total loss of all your money. Only if it went down a bit and you panicked and sold. Even at funds, don't lose it all. Segregated funds also carry that principal protection and life insured aspects as well. That's very good. But the biggest part of them, what you want, every investor, it's their returns. That's the bottom line. How is my money growing? And the risks. There's also risk in investing in low income and guaranteed products, income funds, bond funds, bonds that do well when rates are stable or declining. Well, that's not happening right now. And today's investment killer, the GIC. Very popular in the 80s and 90s, popular in the previous decade and last century, but not today. Or your bank, it'll be all too happy to lock you into another one. Mr. Drysdale will greet you personally at the door. And you might wonder, why are they always so happy to see me when I deposit money into a GIC? Or you're locking in your funds for a guaranteed minimum return. Anything over that, they keep. So now you know why funds carry bank stocks and why you should invest in them. The risk in low and no return products, well, inflation lowers the value of your money. But the biggest risk in locking into GICs right now, it's not really the loss of money, it's the loss of time, your time, years on your life. Years with low returns. Time may be not wasted, but not utilized very well. Now, money you can get back. We saw that from March of 2020. Time you cannot. Very minimal returns is like working a lifetime for less than minimum wage. So don't invest with fear or greed. Both may lead to regret. Even look at the charts on the TSE or the New York Stock Exchange. Take one and read it. And of course, left to right. And starting date to the left and the more current date to the right. And almost every North American Stock Exchange chart for the past 2 years, 10 years, 25 years, 75 years. Read any starting point and go a few years to the right. And as you read it, move your finger along in that direction. The direction only goes one way, up. Zoom in. There'll be several ups and downs. You're looking at daily and weekly. It looks like small, sharp, uneven teeth on a handsaw. But zoom back out like an overhead Google map and look at the multiple time frames of 5 years and beyond. And throughout time, throughout the inflation energy crisis of 1970s, the oil embargoes, and the Black Monday sell-off in October of 1987, and the dot-com tech wreck, and the 9/11 bombings in the early 2000s, and the banking financial collapse in 2007 and 8, a much bigger financial collapse than the COVID meltdown of 2020. Zoom in, zoom out, and the line that you're looking at, the jagged little line, becomes much more straight. It always goes upward to the right. It always has. Look at the past 2 years, the COVID pandemic. One of the sharpest, steepest declines in over 70 years happened in March of 2020. But since then, during this time of lockdowns and shutdowns and booster shot lineups, markets have hit multiple new highs, double-digit returns. And your house has gone up 20%, $100,000 or more since then, the last 18 to 20 months. There have been extraordinary gains. There are always opportunities when you have no fear. Consistently investing with fear, you'll miss opportunities. Or you're trying to play catch-up when you're investing with greed, expecting unreasonable expectations. Quick, easy money. You're more apt to get quick, easy regret. So sometimes the financial train, it backs up a little for a few weeks, then takes off again. Make sure you're on it and stay on it. Solid growth, well-balanced, long-term. Don't time the market. It won't work. Just be in the market. Stay invested. Keep moving forward, upward, to the right. And with investment knowledge, you'll overcome the two worst emotions in investing, the two things that'll hold you back, mostly fear and a lot of greed. We thank you for listening in today. This show will be on my website, yourfinancialdestination.ca. We're located at 1702 Sackville Drive. The phone number, 902-499-5879. And clients, when they call, they can text or email. They get a response rather quickly. This is Roger Hamilton. Until next time, stay safe and stay invested.